We read Holy Scripture in the fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles, and we read the first 10 verses. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobel. And Reaiah, the son of Shobel, begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel and Ishma and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Hazael-el-Ponai. And Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naara. And Naara bare him Ahuzam and Hefer, and Temani and Haahashtari. These were the sons of Naara. And the sons of Hela were Zereth and Jezoar and Ethnan. And Cuz begat Anub and Zobeba and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. We read the word of God this far. Our text this morning is verses 9 and 10 of this passage. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. In these two verses, beloved, Holy Scripture presents and introduces to us this morning the honorable Jabez. This is the only time Jabez appears in Scripture. After this, he disappears as far as Scripture is concerned. All that we know about Jabez is told us in this passage. By virtue of the inclusion of this mention of Jabez in a genealogy of the tribe of Judah in the Old Testament, we may conclude that Jabez was a member of the tribe of Judah. That was the Old Testament tribe to which God had made the promise that from Judah would come the Christ or the Messiah, in whom the covenant of God would be established with his people. It is evident that the power of that covenant promise was working particularly and powerfully in this Jabez. That becomes evident from his spirituality, from his prayer, and from the content of his prayer. Other than this, we know nothing about him at all. But what we do know from our text is important. Important to us all, but important particularly to the young people and children of the congregation. And more particularly still, those young people in the congregation who may have graduated this season from high school or from one of the grade schools. I say this word is especially important for the young people in the congregation, and in fact is directed in a particular way to the young people in the congregation, because at the time Jabez meets us on the pages of Scripture, he is evidently a young man. He lives at that time in his life that you young people are living. Jabez is at that point in his life when he is looking ahead to all of his future life, when he is setting goals for himself with regard to the rest of his life, and when he is determining what for himself is of utmost importance with regard to all of the rest of his life. At that time when a young man or a young woman is determining what kind of a young woman or what kind of a young man he or she will date and marry, at that time in the life of the young person when he or she is determining whether he or she will go to college or will begin working, and if the latter, then what kind of work he or she would like. At that time in the life of the young person in the congregation, when he or she sets goals for his or her life of attainments or pleasures, at that time in his life, Jabez meets us in our text. And with all his heart, as is evident from the very wording of his prayer, desires of God that God would bless him, enlarge his coasts, have his hand with him, and keep Jabez from evil. This young man or young woman, who, as Jabez was circumcised, has been baptized, and who, as Jabez was a member of the Old Testament people of God, are a member of the New Testament people of God, this congregation. This is your covenant request. And may God grant to every one of you that this becomes your covenant request. Let's hear that word of God this morning, a word to all of us, of course. The covenant request of Honorable Jabez. Let's learn first who this young man was. Second, his request. And third, his joy. Now, in light of the text, which doesn't speak of joy, but which rather speaks of sorrow and grief, that last important part of the sermon may strike you as strange. But it will be evident that the joy of Jabez is, in fact, an important part of this revelation of the Word of God concerning that young man. The covenant request of Honorable Jabez. Who he is, his request, and his joy. Jabez was a perfectly ordinary member of the Old Testament people of God, Israel in the text. And because Israel was the Old Testament church and a type of the New Testament reality of the church, I may say that Jabez was a perfectly ordinary member of the New Testament church of Jesus Christ. Such is the idea. Now, there was obviously one respect in which Jabez was special, and that was that he was a member of the people of God at all, as a member of the tribe of Judah. Jabez was a member of the church, and that sets him apart from all of the young people of the nations around Israel at that time as special. So you, young man or young woman, who is a baptized and perhaps a confessing member of the Trinity Protestant Reformed Church of Jesus Christ, so you are special. You belong to the people of God. God is your God, as Jabez called upon him in his day as the God of Israel. But among the people of God, Jabez was an ordinary member. There were also extraordinary members of Israel in the days of the Old Testament. There were men who held office in the church: prophets, priests, or kings. There were men and women too who were extraordinary because they accomplished wonderful victories for the people of God. They were the heroes or the heroines of faith, and the names of some of them are recorded in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Others of the members of Old Testament Israel were outstanding because they were the children of famous parents, or because they were the parents of illustrious children. None of that was true concerning Jabez. You will not find his name in the list of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. So far as we know, he never occupied an office in the nation of Israel. He never accomplished a heroic deed of deliverance on behalf of the people of God. So it is with regard to many, indeed the majority, of the young people in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Many of them will never occupy an office in the church. Many of them will not show themselves to be extraordinary because of heroic deeds they have done for the deliverance and help of the Church of Jesus Christ. Their parentage is not illustrious, nor do they have children who become well known in the church. Most are ordinary, like Jabez. In fact, there was something about Jabez that was singularly unprepossessing, something about Jabez that was unpromising. That comes out in his name and the reason for his name. We are told that his name was Jabez because his mother named him Jabez. And his mother named him Jabez because she said, according to the words of our text, "I bear him with sorrow." In the Hebrew language, the name Jabez means sorrow or grief. Now imagine that. Suppose that you had to grow up as a child and then as a young person in high school with the name Sorrow. There goes Sorrow, the other young people would say when you walked by. And so you would think of yourself as the sorrowful one. His mother named him that unflattering name because she said she had borne him with sorrow. Now, every child is born with some sorrow for the mother. That's part of the judgment of God upon the female because of Eve's role in the original sin. God said in Genesis 3, verse 16, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Inasmuch as every child is born to his or her mother with some sorrow, the fact that Jabez's mother named him Sorrow indicates that her delivery of this son was attended by extraordinary sorrow. Jabez meant a difficult pregnancy for his mother. And the delivery of Jabez was especially hard and painful. In fact, it is not impossible that that difficult pregnancy and that hard and painful delivery resulted in some weakness in the child, some physical handicap, or some mental slowness because of the sorrow of his gestation and his birth. There are certain young people in the church whom God always in grace gifts with extraordinary gifts, whether mental or physical, so that the parents of those children have high expectations concerning the achievements of those children in the rest of their life. And perhaps the church notices those gifts as well and anticipates great things from those children when they mature and become adults. The danger is that with regard to the ordinary children, and even the children who may suffer from some handicap or other, parents and church alike do not expect very much from those children. The children and the young people are made to feel that as well. That was Jabez. By naming him as she did, his mother gave this child to suppose that not much could be expected of him in life in the nation of Israel. That's a mistake. That was a mistake on the part of Jabez's mother, and that's a mistake for parents and for the church today with regard to the children and the young people who are and who show themselves to be ordinary members of the Church of Jesus Christ. This ordinary young man, this unprepossessing young man, this young man about whom not much was expected by his parents or the church, was an honorable young man. That's the explicit teaching of the text. Jabez was more honorable than his siblings, than his brothers. If he was more honorable than they, he was himself honorable. That honorableness was a genuine honor. That's the kind of honor that Scripture notes and that Scripture commends. It was a spiritual honor, the honor of knowing and loving and devoting himself to God. It wasn't the honor of physical strength and prowess so that he could dunk a basketball. It wasn't the physical honor of outstanding feminine beauty and charms. That's evident in the text, because the manifestation of the honor of Jabez was that he prayed. Oh, he prayed with intensity. He prayed from the heart. He prayed with fervor to the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Jabez was a young man in whom the power of the promise of Jesus Christ was at work in the tribe of Judah. Jabez was a young man who knew Jesus Christ in promise and in prophecy. Jabez was a young man who already in his youth feared God and was concerned to keep his commandments. Jabez was a young man who, as he looked forward to all the rest of his life and set his goals and made up his mind what he wanted and what he would desire of God, had his heart set upon God, upon God's salvation, and upon God's glory. And that will be evident when we take note of the threefold request of his prayer to God. Jabez was no spiritual lightweight, but already in his youth, he was a spiritual heavyweight. I use that terminology with purpose because in the Hebrew language, the word honorable literally means heavy or having weight. We may read the text that way. Jabez was heavier, more weighty than his brother. Weighty with the weight of the glory of God within himself by the Spirit of the coming Christ. There are young people in the church. Alas, there are even adult members of the church who are and show themselves to be and apparently are content with being spiritual lightweights. They're satisfied with just a little knowledge of God and his doctrine. They're satisfied with only a minimum of the working of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts and lives. They're satisfied with the bare minimum of salvation. Don't care much for the riches and treasures of salvation. Just enough so that when they die, they can go to heaven. That wasn't Jabez. It was a spiritual heavyweight. That's the word of God to the young people and to the children of the congregation this morning. In fact, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, that could be an absolute comparison and distinction. The meaning might be Jabez was honorable, whereas his brothers were not honorable at all. In Jabez was working the power of the promise of God, but that promise wasn't at work in his brothers whatsoever. Jabez had a zeal for the glory of God, but his brothers had no interest in the glory of God at all. Jabez was heavy with the weighty salvation of God, whereas his brothers and his sisters, if he had any, did not enjoy salvation. That's the way it is sometimes in the congregation. That's the way it can even be in the family of believing parents. One or more of the children are and show themselves to be honorable with the presence and salvation of God, whereas other children, when they come to years of young manhood or young womanhood, turn their back on God and his salvation completely. Abandon the church for the world of the ungodly, and despise the baptism with which they were baptized and the gospel in which they too have been taught with the others. Election and reprobation apply to the visible church of Jesus Christ, and election and reprobation sometimes apply also to the same family of the same believing parents. One young man, one young woman shows himself or herself to be honorable with true spiritual honor, and another or others manifest themselves as dishonorable and shameful with the genuine shamefulness of unbelief and disobedience. But the meaning of the text can also be relative and strictly comparative. And that's what the translation in our authorized version recommends. There were a number of children in the family of Jabez and his mother. Where the father is, we don't know from the text. And among all of those children, there was honorableness on the part of them all. They all were saved. They all feared God. They all desired the glory of God. They were all waiting with true spiritual weight. But Jabez was more honorable than they. They all feared God, but Jabez feared God with a love and intensity that did not characterize his brothers. They all looked to God for his blessing and salvation, but not with the fervor and the ardor of their brother Jabez. They all kept God's commandments, but the law of God was Jabez's meditation day and night. That was true of that very ordinary member of the Church of Christ in the Old Testament, the unprepossessing member of the family, the one whom his mother named the Sorrowful One, which was not the name that she gave to her other sons. And so it still is in the church of God today. There are young people who already in their youth are more honorable than their fellow young people because of the extraordinary working in them of the promise of the covenant of God. I will be the God of you and your children, more honorable with the fear of God, the reverence for God that trusts in him and keeps his commandments, and that then also glorifies God in an outstanding way. His extraordinary honorableness Jabez displayed and expressed by his request. That's the thought of the text. He was more honorable than his brethren, And he showed that by calling on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. He prayed. He called upon the God of Israel in prayer, and obviously called upon God in prayer, not only formally, rattling off our Father who art in heaven, but from the heart. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. That implies, first, that Jabez knew God. You don't pray to God if you don't know him. Jabez knew him not only as the one true God of heaven and earth, but he knew God as the covenant God of his people, the God of Israel. Clearly indicated also by this prayer is that Jabez knew God as sovereign, as the God of almighty power. If this God is the one who blesses or withholds blessing, if this God is the one who either enlarges someone's coasts or narrows the boundaries of a person, if this God is the one upon whose hand with you everything depends, and if this God is the one who is able to keep you from evil, this God must be sovereign. He governs everything by his counsel, and his almighty power brings these requests to pass. The knowledge of the sovereignty of God is part of the honorableness, the exceeding honorableness of Jabez. But particularly, Jabez knew this sovereignty of God as his sovereignty in salvation. For all of the requests of Jabez, as we see in a moment, were requests for the sovereign work of God in accomplishing and continuing and perfecting Jabez's salvation. Young man, young woman, know God as sovereign in salvation, sovereign in your salvation, sovereign in the salvation of the church. That's honorable. Denial of the sovereignty of God, as is the case with so many churches today, which makes salvation dependent upon the will or the works of the sinner. Therefore, also the denial of the sovereignty of God by all those who are members of such churches is no manifestation of honorableness, but is the manifestation of shamefulness. The prayer of Jabez also makes plain that Jabez himself personally trusted in this God to hear him when he prayed and to grant him his request. And that can only be because Jabez had faith, and a faith that rested finally upon the coming Christ and Savior who had been promised and prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. Jabez was a believer in Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus Christ, he trusted that this God had a favorable attitude toward him, to listen to him and to hear him when he prayed, and to give him what he asked in the name of Jesus Christ. Jabez requested in his prayer a blessing, a spiritual blessing. That's the analysis of his prayer in the opening words of verse 10 of our text. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. That's the blessing of a spiritual salvation. That's the blessing of the provision of every spiritual need. That's the blessing of spiritual riches. Let's examine the content of Jabez's request for a blessing from God. First, his request was specifically that God would enlarge his coasts. That was the request that in the land of Canaan, where Jabez was living, God would expand the territory, the farmland, if you will, of Jabez, extending the boundaries and the borders of that plot of the land of Canaan that fell to Jabez. Now I can hear some young man or some young woman in the congregation saying, "That's not very spiritual. I don't have any trouble with this part of the request. We all would like to have land, and we all would like to have a large chunk of land. And if we have some land, we are all interested to expand the coasts or the boundaries of our land, especially if it could be a piece of land on Lake Michigan or some rich farmland somewhere in western Michigan that could make us wealthy." Then you misunderstand this request. The land in which Jabez asked that his coasts be expanded and his boundaries extended was the promised land of Canaan. And the meaning of the land of Canaan was that there the people of God could have fellowship with God, and that by that piece of land they could serve God and glorify God. Jabez, therefore, was not simply requesting a big chunk of physical property, real estate, he was asking for a richer experience of the presence of God, of communion with God, and a greater ability on Jabez's part to serve and to glorify God. More knowledge of the truth of you, he was asking. Expansion of my heart to receive the riches of you by the Holy Spirit. Greater and more powerful work of the Spirit in my life, so that with all I have and all I am, I may glorify thee. Oh, that thou wouldst enlarge my coast. Young man, young woman, as you stand evidently with your whole life before you, make that your request. Don't be satisfied with a minimum of sound doctrine, with a bare minimum of the knowledge of God, with just a little work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, with a minimum of grace to praise this great God of your salvation. And then second, the request specifically was that thy hand would be with me, and that thine hand might be with me. That's a request that God would be with him. God is where his hand is. If his hand is with Jabez, God is with him. That's everything. If you have the whole world, if that should be in your future, or if you have piles of wealth and a fame that resounds throughout the world, and a healthy body and a brilliant mind, and God isn't with you, your whole earthly life is foolish and a failure and worthless. Shameful besides. But if God gives you nothing else, only poverty and sickness and reproach, but his hand is with you,
You have everything. You have God. God in His covenant communion, which is the highest good, which is eternal life and joy. Then besides that, in this second part of his prayer, Jabez was submitting to the government of his life by God. If God's hand is with you, you don't determine your life. I don't determine my own life. God determines our life by His word and by His commandments. Jabez would not depend upon his own will and his own wisdom to direct him through his earthly life. He submitted himself to the hand of God. And then if that hand of God is with him, not against him, God will prosper his life, provide for all his needs, carry him safely through the good times and the bad times, and bring him to the land of which Canaan was an earthly picture. Young man, young woman, when you make your request known to God, don't leave this out. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me in this, that thy hand is with me every step of the way in the life that stretches before me. And then, third, but not least, the request was that thou wouldst keep me from evil. That thou wouldst keep me from evil. Notice what that request is not. Keep the evil from me. That wasn't his request. That request comes all too easy to us all. We would like God to keep the evil from us. Business reverses. Sickness. Disappointment of our plans, sorrows in our home and family. That wasn't his request. Not keep the evils from me, but keep me from the evil. And the evil from which he prayed that God would keep him was the real evil of human life, the evil of sin, the evil of a presumptuous sin. The evil of sin as a power that takes hold on a man or a woman, taking him away from the church and away from God and away from the gospel, plunging him into the death of the world. This sorrowful one knew what the real sorrow is, the sorrow of the destruction and shame of sin that overtakes one and rules one. And from that, he besought that God would keep him. Keep me, sinful human that I am, from the evil. The entire threefold request, therefore, was a spiritual request. It was a request, basically, for Jesus Christ, the salvation of the cross, the sanctifying of the Spirit, and the riches of eternal life that Jesus Christ would bring at His coming. And God granted that which He asked. He always does. He always will. This prayer He delights in. He blessed Jabez. He gave him a large portion of Canaan. His hand was with him to the day of his death, and then that hand brought him safely through death into the glory. And he kept Jabez from the evil. Even though he was a sinner like us, he didn't stumble deeply into sin and fall, nor did sin rule over him. The Spirit of Christ ruled him. If you want only a minimum of Christ's salvation, God will give you that too. If you're satisfied with that, if that's all you ask Him for, And if there are those who want the world, and only the world, and ask for the world, to give them that too, to their destruction, but he delights to answer this prayer for blessing. And when he did, God gave to Jabez joy. That's implied in the text. When in his third request, Jabez asked, "Keep me from the evil that it may not grieve me." Now that word grieve in the text is exactly the same word as Jabez's name. He knew what his name was. He knew what that name implied for him, an ordinary, unpromising member of the household and of the people of God. But he also knew what real grief and sorrow are. That he desired God would spare him the grief of sin. The sorrowful one prayed that he would not be brought to sorrow. And God gave him what he asked for. He gave him joy. The sorrowful one becomes the joyful one on the pages of Holy Scripture. That joy included the joy that Jabez would have perfectly when such a life as he lived was ended in the eternal Canaan. His name no longer is Jabez, but with all of the hosts in heaven, his name is the Joyful One. He who had joy in this life in fellowship with God had and has eternal joy in the same God. Young man, young woman, don't overlook the real sorrow and the real joy of human life. The real sorrow is never just physical. The real sorrow is spiritual. The true joy is not physical. The true joy is spiritual. Desire that. And in your desire, look forward to an eternity of joy with God in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray.